An excited buzz of voices rose up as servants began circulating with silver trays and crystal flute glasses. Ramirez gave the chamber a somewhat disbelieving stare and then shook his head. "This is a nut house."
"Cave," I said.
"Nut cave."
"What the hell is going on?"
"Right." Ramirez didn't have his own photocopy of a demon's personality to translate ancient Etruscan, so I summed up the conversation and the players and gave him the best quotes.
"What's this freak stuff?"
Ramirez demanded in a low, outraged tone.
"I think it's a perspective thing," I said. "They call humans kine, deer, herd animals. Wizards are deer who can call down the lightning and whip up firestorms. From that perspective, we're fairly freakish."
"So we're going to kick their asses now, right?"
"That's the plan."
"Incoming," Ramirez said, stiffening. Lara Wraith approached us, demure in her white formal getup, bearing a silver tray with drinks upon it. She inclined her head to us, her gray eyes pale and shining.
"Honored guests, would you care for wine?"
"Nah," I said, "I'm driving."
Lara's lips twitched. I had no idea how she had switched into the complex kimono so quickly.
Chalk it up to the same sexy vampire powers that had once let her shoot a layer of skin off my ear while standing on gravel in stiletto heels. Poof, business suit. Whoosh, whoosh, silk negligee. I shook my head a little and got my thoughts under control. Adrenaline can make me a little silly.
Lara turned to Carlos and said,
"May I offer you a taste of something sweet, Bantam?"
"Well," he said, "as long as you're offering stuff, how about a little assurance that somebody isn't going to shoot us in the back for fun once we're stomping on Beavis and Butthead over there?"
Lara arched a brow.
"Beavis and..."
"I would have gone with Heckle and Jekyll," I told him.
"Gentlemen," she said, "please be assured that the White Throne wishes nothing more than for you to prevail and humiliate its foes. I am sure that my father will react most harshly to any violation of the Accords."
"Okay," Ramirez said, drawing the word out. He nodded toward the Malvoran contingent, still huddled around Cesarina.
"So what's stopping Il Duca there from taking a whack at you and the king and everybody? If she offs you, she gets to kill us, take over the organization, and just do whatever she likes."
Lara looked at him, and her expression twisted with distaste, to the point that a little shudder actually flickered along her body, which I noticed because I am a trained observer of body language and not because of the way the kimono was perfectly outlining one of her thighs.
"You don't understand." She shook her head, holding her mouth, as if she'd unexpectedly bitten into a lemon. "Dresden, can you explain it to him?"
"The White Court vamps can be violent," I said quietly. "Savage, even. But that isn't their preferred mode of operation. You're worried that Malvora is going to come smashing in here like a big old grizzly bear and kill anything in her way. But they aren't like grizzly bears. They're more like mountain lions. They prefer not to be seen acting at all. When they do attack, they're going after a victim, not seeking an opponent. They'll try to isolate them, hit them from behind, preferably destroy them before they even know that they're being attacked. If Lady Malvora threw down right now, it'd be a stand-up fight. They hate those. They won't do them unless there's no alternative."
"Oh," Ramirez said.
"Thank you," Lara told me.
"Of course," I said, "there's been some uncharacteristic behavior going around lately."
Lara tilted her head at me, frowning.
"Oh, come on," I said. "You think it's a little odd the fairies didn't immediately stomp all over the Red Court when they violated Unseelie territory a couple of years back?
Don't tell me you're trapping the little fairies because it's cheaper than getting those paper party lanterns."
Lara narrowed her eyes at me.
"You're testing their reaction," I said, giving a minor but deliberate insult and seeing what happens.
Her lips turned up very, very slowly.
Are you sure you're quite determined to remain attached to that sad little clubhouse of old men?
Why? Do you take care of your own? I asked.
In a great many senses, wizard, she promised.
The way you took care of Thomas? I asked.
Her smile turned brittle.
Pride goeth, Lara, I said.
Each is entitled to his opinion, she glanced up and said. The runners have returned with your foe's weaponry. Good hunting, gentlemen.
She bowed to us again, her expression a mask, and drifted away, back toward her place behind the throne. The music came to an end, and it seemed to be a signal to the vampires. They withdrew from the center of the chamber to stand on either side, leaving the long axis of the cavern open, the entrance upon one end, the white throne upon the other.